Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cool Zone Media.
When you're bilingual, there are certain things that just don't translate. In a lot of ways, English just doesn't have the words that communicate fully the idea. I know that there's a word in German that essentially means like a punchable face. Like, you guys know people that just have a face that, like, this face needs to be punched. I know in Spanish, there's one word for, you know, your first day of school clothes, like, you know, you as a kid, you was like, yo, this is the dopest outfit I got. This is my first day of school. There's a word for it. There's a particular word for your first day of school clothes. And English just doesn't have stuff like that. Unless you're talking about Black people English. We be having them phrases that communicate exactly not only what the word says or means, but what it feels like. And some of them words ain't even words. Like, mm-hmm. You... Y'all know exactly what that means. Mm-hmm. Or, hmm. Like, we masters of it. But every once in a while, there's too many options in your grab bag to actually communicate what you're trying to communicate. And this is one of those moments. I think we've talked about it before. There are so many ways to say, Black people say, like, mind your own business, and that we do, in ways to say that we mind our own business. There are so many ways to say, we think what you're doing is stupid. You better than me. You got it, Chief. Oh, man, if you like it, I love it. These are all ways to say what you're doing is dumb. They communicate not only what we mean by that, but how we feel about it. When we say one of those things, as a matter of fact, this morning I got up and I had to hit the group text. I had to ask the homies, what's the blackest way to say, I don't know? That you don't know, so you honestly do not know something. Because a lot of times there's ways to say that's sarcastic. But when you generally honestly don't know, one, I'm just like, man, I don't even know. Your guess is as good as mine, nigga. You know what I'm saying? One of them is just where you just rub your chest. You just be like, that's what Malski said. Lecrae was like, I don't even know, with an M. But I think we all agree, the blackest way and actually the most accurate way to not only say what we mean but communicate how we feel about it is, shit, I can't call it. Let's talk about Chevron deference. Hood politics, y'all. Okay. Welcome to another edition. Hood politics is raining out here. I got the incense burning. I'm so far ahead of y'all, like, as to when this episode's coming out. Like, I mean, this episode probably not gonna come out for a month from when I'm recording it. So this might be old news for a lot of y'all. But Ron DeSantis is D'd out. You feel me? He sat on the bench, realized, like, it ain't gonna work. You can't work. You can never be a JV version of somebody else. That's just the rule. You can't be a JV version. You cannot be a Kirkland brand of something else. you know, and which is no diss to Kirkland brands, because as a side note, if you've ever had Kirkland brand alcohol and spirits, they're actually name brand things, just white labeled. You know what white labeled is, right? So you go get, they get the recipe, like the Kirkland brand whiskey is actually, it's Maker's Mark. You know, they just had them make a mash and sold them the recipe and that's it. So like, don't feel bad about getting Kirkland whiskey, because it's actually high-end whiskey. Anyway.
What the hell was I talking about?
Ron DeSantis, gone. You can't be a Kirkland brand anything. You can't be the JV version of somebody else. You got to be the varsity you, which is light words to live by. Amen. My mom used to say, be who you is, because who you ain't who you is. She said she got that from somebody. My mom from, you know, Southeast DC, you know, back when it was Chocolate City. So she got it from one of them old men over there. But either way, be who you is, because who you ain't who you is. Ron DeSantis is out. He wasn't who he is. He trying to be somebody doing Trump impression the whole time. And y'all remember how he tried to launch his campaign on Twitter Spaces? It kept crashing. It was over before it started. Anyway, this is probably old news for y'all. I may have to even replace this section with something else that's a little more up to date, because time be moving real fast. Well, time moves at the speed. Time always moves. I'm rambling. But we got to talk about this fisherman's case and Chevron deference. And this is a more of a Supreme Court issue. And you got to understand how the Supreme Court works. So we're going to put our learning hats on. And I'm considering doing like a little homie politics, which is like hood politics, but, you know, shorter and clean that you could use in the classroom and for the kids. And this might be one of those ones that I need to do that for. I got it from this show called Ologies, which is just this science show, super dope, about people who are study any sort of ology. She has one. She has a series called Smologies, where she does shorter versions for kids, where it's the same stuff that you could play with your children. Me and my 8-year-old been burning through them. So I'm like, I need to do this for hood politics. Called Little Homie Politics. You feel me? Okay. So Chevron deference, the fact that it might end. Why is it called Chevron? Why is it so important? And what does this mean for the future? And why is this even called shit? I can't call it. Let's get to it. All right. We've done a bunch of episodes on Supreme Court. We talked about like them getting involved in stuff, them not wanting to get involved in stuff, the concept of what the judicial branch was supposed to be, a little bit of a rewind about that. Like the hope in its design and concept was to have the judicial branch as far away from the democratic process as possible, because you don't want them to be, you want them to be as objective as possible. Like you are interpreting the law. And if you got to worry about being elected into your position, like in the democratic way, then your allegiance is not to the law. Like, think about this. Your allegiance is not to the law. It's to the people that elected you, which is why politicians act the way they act, why they flip flop, why they, you know, which isn't, it's not that pure, but like in concept, I mean, they flip flop because of money, obviously, you know what I'm saying? And power, money, power, respect is the key to life. The idea is you're supposed to do, you're supposed to be in concept servants to the people that elected you. The judicial branch is supposed to be servants to the Constitution. So that distinction in design is important, right? That's why judges ain't voted on. They're selected by elected officials. They're supposed to not have to worry about running for re-election, right? Because that was going to sway the way that they make the choices that they make. And then all the way up to the Supreme Court, which is, we did this whole thing. You remember the y'all don't sign my check or marinate my chicken episodes, where it's like, I'm not even concerned about what anybody think about what I do. And that's why, like, a lot of times Supreme Court justices, like, you never really know. Only time they, historically, only time they talk was when you would hear their reasoning for their choosing, for the way that they fell on a particular issue, and then the dissent. But you don't know these people until later. You feel me? Until they're done. And that's why they stay in that position until they die or until they step down themselves. It's because you're supposed to be why it's like what I do is not your concern. It's none of your business. I'm not even worried about you. Is because by design, of course, this isn't in practice, like we all know, but by design, it's supposed to be far enough away from the voters. I don't care what you think. Nigga, this is what the law say. This is what we believe the law say. I don't care how you feel about it, nigga. I don't care what's going on. But of course, as we know, in practice, the Supreme Court is used as battering rams for partisan politics, which is the world we live in now, a conservative court or a liberal court, right? And then those issues get to be the things that when you run it for office, you get to say, oh, the problem. I already got these activist judges, you know? So for most of my life, that's what the Republicans were saying. What the conservative world was saying was like, the judges are activists now, and they're removing traditional family values from us, right? They're not upholding the Constitution. They're forcing their liberal agendas on us by putting activist judges who are supposed to just be interpreting the Constitution. Well, my, how the tables have turned, i.e. Roe v. Wade being overturned, i.e. the fact that it's the 6-3 leaning conservative Supreme Court. Now, what the Supreme Court is supposed to do, like we said, is interpret things. But there are some times that they like, shit, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's up to the Congress, right? The Congress writes the laws. We just trying to say whether the law makes sense or not, or if what you doing applies to that. But shit, I don't know. You got to ask them. You remember when we talked about the internet one a few episodes back, a while ago, that they was kind of decide a case against Google, where there was like, I don't know, nigga, ask Congress, right? Like, is Google liable for their algorithm that might work to radicalize somebody to commit some sort of terrorist act? And the Congress was like, shit, I don't know. Like, is it our place to decide that? Like, what's an algorithm? You know what I'm saying? They was like, look, ask your mother. You know what I'm saying? You ask the Congress. Like, is this our place to decide this? Basically, because the laws around the internet were ambiguous. And when the laws need clarity, that's usually when you go to the courts. But the courts are like, we need to defer to experts, which is where you get the term deference, right? I am deferring to something else. And Chevron deference is based on a case which we will talk about right now. So let's set it up. So in Maine right now, this is the case they looking at. Well, I don't know. Well, it's probably not decided by now, even though, because courts move pretty slow these days. So they probably still, the news is probably done talking about this, but let's talk about it. What seems as though this would be just a regular ass, local, why does anyone else care kind of case has to do with these fishermen. Now, fishing, just like hunting, is regulated so that you don't overhunt and you don't overfish. That type of regulation for anybody that's in that field, most people, now I know some like Montana head ass dudes, hunt ducks, hunt bucks, like, I mean, the reddest of necks, who like, you know, think veganism is sinful, like just in that sense. But they got sense enough to know that overhunting is a problem, that they're like, you buy the tags, right? You only get a certain amount of tags. If you're catching fish, there are some fishing spots that are catch and release, because if you overfish, then they're all gone. In their way, they're like, no, this is conservation. Why? Like, you can't kill all the deer, nigga. Like, cause then they all gone. Cause like, that's absurd. They understand logically that yes, there are some types of regulation. Now, don't let the most extreme wing of the right-wing conservative Republican Party fool you that people think they just want to shoot it all up. Most folks who live outside like that, and they version of outside, understand that You kind of need some, admin. You feel me? Like, you know, because there ain't going to be no more fish, right? Now, if you're a commercial fisher, like over there in the Atlantic and stuff, it's the same thing. They like, nigga, you fish the ocean dry like we out of a job, cuz. Like, that don't make no damn sense. They understand things like that people would consider liberal issues, like food chain, you feel me? Within it, and the fact that, like, you gotta, like, it's a delicate, they get it. It's a delicate balance in the ocean. You can't kill all the tuna, nigga. Like, if you take all the tuna, you feel me, then, or if you take all the tuna's food, if you fish out everything the tuna eat, nigga, then the tuna gonna die or they gonna leave. They get it. Like, there is a place for regulation. Everybody understands that, even in that world. So for decades, nobody has had in that world any real problem with being like, every year, feds send a suit down to come out and go fish with us to make sure that we're not overfishing, that we're meeting our quotas, and we're doing this in a humane way. We're not dropping too much pollution into the water. They get it, because if you pollute the water, nigga, we're out of a job. Like, this just, it's that logical. So most of them really got no problem with the regulation. What happened recently, though, and of course, you know, you got to pay for these tags. Like, that's part of, and you understand that's cost of business. There's a certain fee you have to pay, which everybody understands. That makes sense. You just build that into your catch, and you just hope that your catch is that good. But it's the cost of business. Like, everybody understands that. In whatever field you are, there are certain things that it's just the cost. Like, it is what it is. You know, this isn't, we're not a hunter-gatherer society no more. Like, you feel me? Like, this is a commercial supply chain, late-stage capitalism. There's fees. But something changed in 2020. And what happened in 2020 was, not only are you paying for your tags, now you have to pay a fee to have the guy on your boat, the guy that comes and makes sure that you're following the directions. So if you're a fisherman, you like, yo, let me get this straight. I'm required to have this guy on my boat. I'm required to pay a fee for the quotas. And now I have to pay your employee. You making me have them come out on my boat. And I got a payday salary for the day. Like, what do y'all pay for? What is my tags paying for? Oh, so I got to pay your employee. That's your employee. You're like this. Okay, so there's the registration fee, and then it would be like, okay, if to get my driver's license, I got to pay a certain fee. I get it. But then I got to pay the person that's doing I got to go to the DMV and pay the person's salary for the person that's doing that. So the guy that's in my car with me for the driver's, I got to pay that guy too? That don't make no damn sense. Why do I got to pay that person's salary? Well, then who does this person work for? I thought they worked for the government agency. If I'm paying them, then that means they work for me. But there's no other option, because now I can't do my job unless I pay this person. So if you're a fisherman, you like this. Wait, hold up. First of all, when did this rule become a rule? Like, you get to just change the rules? Number one. And number two, what you charging me is outrageous. You ask the fishermen, they like, it kind of breaks down to about like 5 G's, because you have to do it over the course of because the people got to be there over the course of like 4 or 5 days. And if that's the case, depending on how many fish we catch, this fool that's just sitting here with a clipboard taking notes is going to make more than the people actually doing it. You're going to make more than my employees, because I only get paid with what I catch. So if I go out today and we don't catch nothing, all of my fishermen understand that, like, oh, we just didn't make nothing today, because I'm not holding no money from you. Nigga, there's no fish. So I couldn't pay you. But I still got to pay this person regulating no matter what we catch. I got to pay them. Now, me as an artist, I can relate to that, because when you go out on tour, my money is based on ticket sales and sponsors and stuff like that. That's what I make. But that's not my DJ's job. That's not the drummer in the band's job. The band gets a day rate. So whether we sell tickets or not, I still got to pay the DJ. It's not his job. It's not her job. It's my job. It's my job to generate the funds. And that is part of their contract. Now, I'm okay with that, because I employ them. But if Live Nation was like, but there's also a dude that has to come that works for Live Nation and be on tour with you, and you got to pay them $500 a day, whether you make tickets or not, I'm like, fam, why? Like, you saw the building was only, we only sold half the tickets. And so now I have, now I can't pay my drummer because I have to pay you? That's absurd. Fam, you already own all the venues and you own the ticket selling app. You taking a percentage of the tickets. You take a percentage of the door. You own the building. You own the promoter. And now I got to pay your regulatory dude? You tripping. And as far as fishermen concerned, they like, it sound illegal. You can't just change the rules on us. Like, that's crazy. So they took him to court. Now, the question is, why would you care? Let's talk about that next.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Now, why should you care at all about what happens with fishermen in Maine and who got to pay for the people that come and make sure that they don't overfish the ocean? Well, you could say you care in the sense that, like, I mean, the ocean's on Earth and I don't want to live on a planet where ain't no more fish in the ocean. That would be awful, right? But neither do the fishermen. Why do you care who pays for what? Maybe your fish are going to cost more. Maybe that's why you care. And is that the case that's being argued at the doggone Supreme Court? How the hell just make it all the way to the Supreme Court? Well, why it made it to the Supreme Court is a question of who gets to decide what. It's not necessarily about the fish. You have a, you know, if you have been in a relationship, especially a romantic one. You start. I remember one time me and refer to her by her prefix, Dr. Alma, was arguing over the way that the cords under our desk was organized. I don't like exposed cords. And she kept unplugging shit and moving it around. And I was like, nigga, will you stop moving the cords? And she was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I was like, ultimately, it was like, it's not about the cords. It's not about the cords at all. It's about, I feel like she being controlling. You want everything your way, you know? She felt like I was being petty. So we wasn't even arguing about the cords. That's kind of the situation like this. It's about the fish, but it ain't about the fish. They're coming up to the court saying, how come this agency gets to just change the rules? Is there something you can do as the courts to say this can't be legal? Like you can't just change the rules like that. Then what are we supposed to do? Like I'm stuck. There's no, like, it's like gas prices. There's nothing you can do. You got to just, I mean, gas is what it is. You have to pay, or it's either that or don't drive. So there's got to be something we could do. Like, damn, you're the freaking courts, man. Do something. Which brings us to this idea of who do you defer to as the experts? Because if you're the Supreme Court, are you an expert in fish conservation? Are you an expert in AI? Are you an expert in the internet? Are you an expert in gas? Are you an expert in city zoning? No, you're an expert in the Constitution. You're the expert in the law. So you asking me to make judgment calls on stuff that's not even my field. Shit, I can't call it. Nigga, I don't know. How many fishes should you catch a day? Nigga, I don't know. How many fish in the ocean? Right? I don't know. Which brings us to a case that's called Chevron deference. It's this decision, which is a case that was in 1984 that was Chevron versus the Natural Resources Defense Council. Why this was so important was this. The specifics of the case are the things that are going to get lost in history. It's just how it was decided. Essentially, the Natural Resources Defense Council was basically like, Chevron's breaking the earth. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, you're destroying us. Chevron's like, well, who the fuck are you? Like, why do you get to say that? As a matter of fact, the laws you're trying to catch us on are pretty ambiguous. Like, they not really clear. It's kind of up for interpretation. So as far as we're concerned, we ain't done nothing wrong. You just adding stuff. That's not even what the law say. So somebody needs to interpret this law. And why do you get to be the people that interpret it? It's not clear. You regulating me to death. Like, I can't make no damn money. Like, that's what, like, what the hell? There's got to be some sort of law that says that you can't just cripple my business. And the Supreme Court was like, well, fam, I mean, what the hell do we know about this? We're not experts on every field everywhere. So since we're not experts, it kind of feels like maybe we shouldn't make this call. So we're going to listen to the case. But as far as like the actual regulations, like I'm going to defer to the experts. So we defer to the agency, the Natural Resource Agency, because I mean, that's their field of study. Like, what do we know? All we was going to do is ask them because they the experts. Why would you even want me to, as a judge, you're asking me like I'm a shark being judged on how well I climb a tree, nigga? Like, I don't know. Like, what? I mean, I don't know. So we are going to listen to the merits of the case. But when it comes to the specifics, I'm just going to defer to the agency because that's their field. That was Chevron deference. And that's been essentially since 1984, it's been 40 years. Like, that's been essential standard when it comes to things like the EPA and any other regulatory bodies that the Supreme Court is like, dog, like, we can't be an expert on everything, dude. Like, how are we supposed to know? Like, I don't know. Like, shit, I can't call it. So on the face, it seems pretty logical, right? Like, I would not want a case that like gets into the specifics. And I think all of us saw this if you were watching all the Google trials and when old Zuckerberg and everybody was on the thing. You remember the dude that was like, the Congress dude that was like, what are you going to do about Finstas? What the hell? Like, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, if we were talking about the internet stuff, you don't know what you're talking about. What about do it fensters? Like, do you know what a fenster is? No, your granddaughter told you what that is. Fam, you still got a Yahoo account. Like, you don't, like, or you can't even get into your email account. Like, why should I, you are not equipped to make laws and the Supreme Court is not equipped to interpret those laws about shit they don't know about. You just know law shit. You don't know this shit. So when Congress makes a law, now this is where it's like put your learning caps on. When Congress makes a law, and again, they need to be by design like this. When Congress makes a law, the law needs to be ambiguous enough to make room for the future, to make room for things that you can't necessarily predict, right? So we can't, like, I don't know the future. So I have to make this law up for interpretation for when the future comes, there might be things that we can't possibly foresee coming. So I'm trying to make a law that's open to interpretation enough, it'll be able to last a little longer, right? Like, say, for example, we were making a law about movies and about, like, when movies leave the theaters, and the Supreme Court talked about, like, DVDs and VHS tapes. This isn't a law, but, like, let's just say, like, the Supreme Court made a law about VHS tapes. Well, nigga, they're extinct. There's no laws about streaming because they couldn't fathom streaming. So you have to make something ambiguous enough that as technology moves on, as the future moves on, that they can, those laws can be, like, still applicable. Now, on the other hand, the people writing these laws, these congressmen, ain't exactly altruistic. They're not looking at the purity and being like, well, we want to make sure that we keep it. No, they're subject to lobbyists. They're subject to money. They subject to power. They subject to re-election. So even them writing them laws, like, nigga, like, you deferring to them as if they gonna be on the up and up about the shit. So it's there's a lot of ways this could go. This is why it's at the Supreme Court. You're not writing laws to keep the purity of it. You writing laws so you get reelected. Nigga, like, this is a corrupt system, y'all. Well, it's the Supreme Court's job to interpret these laws that the Congress put together. The problem is when a law is ambiguous enough and is up for interpretation because it's not that clear, that's when it goes to the courts. This law isn't clear. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, here's an example with my children. Like, our rule in our house, because I don't believe in power struggles with children. Like, if I'm in a power struggle with my child, I've already lost, because I shouldn't be in a power struggle with somebody that don't pay no bills in my house. But also, I shouldn't be power hungry. I'm not about that. But, like, there are things that are very simple. There's no desserts if you don't finish your vegetables. That's easy. So if I cook a meal for you and I make you some asparagus, you get up, remove the asparagus from your plate, go get some carrots and sit back down. I'm outraged. Little girl, what the hell is you doing? In case you don't know, I'm Black. You eat what I give you. Like, no, I don't understand. What the hell is you doing? Well, the law was ambiguous. The law said vegetables. Carrots are a vegetable. I prefer carrots over asparagus. She got a point. The law wasn't clear. I could not have foreseen that she, now I could have asked her which vegetable she preferred. But again, I'm Black. Our children don't get choices. Just kidding. We need to change that. Yeah, I should have checked. But either way, the law was ambiguous enough to where now it's like, well, this is up for interpretation. And I'm interpreting carrots as a vegetable. She's right. So we defer to mom who wrote the law. When a law is that Congress makes is a little ambiguous or up for interpretation, and it goes to the courts because there's now a situation where, like, somebody needs to decide what it is. And the highest court is the Supreme. And what Chevron deference says is, look, dude, this law, like, you're right, it is up to interpretation, but I'm not an expert in this field. So I'm going to defer to the experts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So this case with the fishermen is not necessarily about the fishermen. It's about who gets to say what. Is Chevron deference really fair? Now, so you how it works in practice is you stand before the Supreme Court. If you don't know how the Supreme Court works, it's not like a TV trial. The Supreme Court doesn't work like that, where it's not Law and Order, where you get to be like objection sustained, defendants and stuff like that. No. What it is, especially in this situation, this is actually a perfect example about it. They're arguing the legality of the precedent or of the law that's being challenged. So you have one side of this courtroom, the fishermen that are essentially like, yo, they don't get to just change the rules on us. Like, why have you given them so much power? Which is the ultimate question. It's not even about the fish. It's about the fact that, like, yo, you're the judge. You're the law. You're the courts. If you just say, well, damn, I'm just going to defer to them about what it is. You just get, like, they're not even elected officials. They're pencil pushers. They're not even selected officials. They just pencil pushers. As a matter of fact, when the administration changes, right, every 4 years, they're going to have a whole new agenda. They're going to have a whole new people that work there. So you deferring to them, but them niggas going to change their mind depending on who in office. So, like, why would you just defer to them? They're not even, who are they? Like, why are you calling them experts? They just got a job because of who's president right now. That's the fisherman's argument, which unfortunately, like everything else, breaks partisan, right? This is the, at this moment in our lifetime, the conservative position. They call it the administrative state. Like, you know how right now the conservative world doesn't want regulations about anything. And they're using this as one of their battering rams, right? So this is the conservative position. So you get dudes like Brett Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court right now kind of saying the same thing, where it's like, well, first of all, we haven't used Chevron deference. I don't know how long. Now, remember, this wasn't a song earlier. They used to be mad that the courts got to decide stuff, you know, that. But now that they up, you know, they want the courts to decide. You feel me? But that's how politics works. On the other side, the people that are for, like the state that's for Chevron deference, is like, bro, we've been doing this for 40 years and it just makes sense. You can't possibly be an expert on everything. Like, there's no way. Y'all know this is their field. This is what they do. Like, what do you know about, what do you know about fishing? Like, what do y'all know about this? You know about the law. You was in the library. You wasn't outside with us. You was in a library. So it only makes sense for you to, one, not break precedents. Then that's what, I mean, isn't that what y'all all about? Like, not breaking precedents? And then, and the precedents, like, dude, it makes sense. There's no way you could know about this. The law is ambiguous on purpose because none of us can predict the future. You should at least put some weight on people that actually study this stuff. Now, we're not saying to let them make your decisions for you, but what we're saying is they know the shit better than you do. So just like use it. It's for your advantage. Like, this is their job, which is ultimately what the Supreme Court case is about. It's not even about the fishermen. It's about Chevron deference. Who gets to decide what? And what the Supreme Court does isn't just listen and go, No, they get to be annoying little children and what if you to death? What do I mean by that? Their job is to listen to your argument and do their best to poke holes in it by just asking what if question, like your children do. You know, what if I tried to do this? Like, kids do all the time. But what if I can't find a pencil? Well, what if I can't find the broom? Well, what if we're out of Comet? Well, what if there's no soap in the bathroom? That's their job, because what they're trying to see is, does your argument stand a stress test? That's what they're saying. Like, so when you say on the conservative side that, like, Chevron deference is wrong, like you shouldn't be able to do this. Your immediate example, I brought it up before, is like, well, what about, like, say, for example, AI? What do we know? We could barely open our emails. You really want us to, like, why would we not defer to people work in that field? There's laws about the internet right now. Like, but remember, when we made the internet, we didn't even know you could buy things online. Like, how are we supposed to know when we look at this law? How is Congress supposed to know? That's why they make the law so ambiguous. How are we supposed to know? We can't predict the future. Electric cars. I don't make electric cars. I barely understand it. Why would we not check with experts about it? So you want me to decide on this fisherman thing and think Chevron deference isn't fair? But, like, well, how are we supposed to judge things like AI, right? So you challenge it, right? And then on the other side, the defense side, that's like, yo, this is 40 years precedence. Brett Kavanaugh and them was like, nigga, we haven't used this in 15 years. We won't even use it. It's basically dead. You feel me? And like I said before, it's like, well, when the administration changes, like, what are we supposed to do? To which people could respond like, well, fam, there's like 80 federal judges. It's like you're creating chaos here, right? Because if Maine says, okay, 40 fish a day, but Florida says 400 fish a day. Like, we need somebody to come in here and be like, no, this is what it is. To which the Republican side was like, no, you making Chevron deference, making us defer to the agency, is actually creating the chaos, because the agency is going to change every 4 years. So it's their job to poke at your arguments. Who's right? Shit, I can't call it. Who gets to decide, and based on what foundation is the right thing to do? Now, this has humongous implication, because remember, the courts traditionally never want to break precedents. Nobody ever wants to be the first nigga to do something because of how fragile the law is. At one point, I'm gonna do an episode on, like, the thin veneer theory, but, like, how fragile all of this stuff is, and how when laws are on the books, they become so foundational to other laws and precedents that we start doing. Like, say, for example, if you play in Jenga, like if I pull this law from 40 years ago and it's like, yo, it's unconstitutional, you done messed up everything we done built on top of it. Like the whole thing kind of topples. So people don't want to be the one to pull that log out. You start messing with precedents. You like everything we've done since then is now in jeopardy. So judges don't be wanting to do that. Yo, and we're seeing this in real time with the ending of Roe v. Wade. We're seeing it with the ending of affirmative action. The domino effect of you taking this, pulling this Jenga piece out. Now it's like, with affirmative action in schools, it's like, well, then what the hell do, well, then how do we read your applications? Well, can I say I'm Black? Well, I mean, it's a big part of my life. So then when I write my my essays, my personal statement essays, can I not mention them? And if I mention I'm Black because it's obviously a part of my story, this fool got a 4.1, I got a 3.8, but I come from a low performing school in a redlined community because I am a person of color and have experienced racism and mass incarceration and all the things that come with being a part of a racist country. But my grades look like this nigga's grades, right? But since they a little bit lower, when this nigga got like personal tutors and shit and I could still keep up with him, clearly I'm working harder than this fool because I'm running into the wind and you telling me you can't account for that? I'm a better student because I'm a better choice for your college because I'm performing just as him with one hand tied behind my back, with everything playing against me. This nigga got everything he could possibly need. I don't have that. But I can't put that on application. You can't consider it. If you read the applications, you like, well, obviously, but I'm not a, wait, then what do I judge him by? Are you supposed to ignore that? Like, well, like, okay, so if I can't mention race, but race is a part, like, so the implications are like, Roe v. Wade is kind of the same thing. Okay, well, it's not federal, then it's state. Well, then at what point is it? Well, then what are the exceptions? Well, then you just pull this Jenga piece out. So it's super, what if I cross state lines? What if I'm in danger of dying? You pull the Jenga piece out. There's a problem here. But if I were to predict the future, I'm saying if Chevron deference, if it's going to stay, it's going to be a zombie version. You know how I know? Because this court is activist. They're just activists like Republican, like conservative activists. The same thing that the conservatives were arguing about and complaining about when most of my life is the same thing they doing now. They were like, we don't like activist judges. No, you just ain't like activist judges that was doing activism against your agendas. Now that y'all up, which was the plan the whole time, obviously, now that y'all up, you can get the laws you want enacted because nigga, you ain't no different. You just wanted to be up. So this case about this fisherman, about Chevron deference, and when I say Chevron, we, like I said before, it's actually Chevron. It's really about who gets to call it. Because sometimes when you don't know, you like, shit, I don't even know. You got, I can't call it. I defer. Your guess is as good as mine. Nigga, you're the Supreme Court. You don't get to say you don't know. You are the final say. Or are you? Or are you the final say as to who gets the final say? Which one is it? Shit, I can't call it. Hood politics, y'all. All right, now don't you hit stop on this pod. You better listen to these credits. I need you to finish this thing so I can get the download numbers, okay? So don't stop it yet. But listen, this was recorded in East Los Boyle Heights by your boy Propaganda. Tap in with me at prophiphop.com. If you're in the cold brew coffee, we got Terraform Cold Brew. You can go there.com and use promo code HOOD, get 20% off, get yourself some coffee. This was mixed, edited, and mastered by your boy Matt Osowski, killing the beat softly. Check out his website, mattosowski.com. I'm gonna spell it for you because I know. MattOsowski.com, mattosowski.com. He got more music and stuff like that on there, so go and check out the heat. Hood Politics is a member of Cool Zone Media. executive produced by Sophie Lichterman, part of the iHeartMedia Podcast Network. Your theme music and scoring is also by the one and only Matt Alsowski, still killing the beat softly. So listen, don't let nobody lie to you. If you understand urban living, you understand politics. These people is not smarter than you. We'll see y'all next week.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.